Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse with Dr. Don McDonald. This show is for vitalistic chiropractors that want to take their practice to a new level. Whether that is higher volume, less stress, more congruency, or just want to continually learn and evolve. Every Wednesday, I will be bringing you an interview that will provide you with either mindset or strategies that will help you overcome your underdog curse. Whether you are plateaued, afraid to fail, or stressed out due to overwhelm, this podcast will show you how others have overcome their challenges. Make sure to go to www.drdonmcdonald.com where you can sign up to get notifications when new shows are released and see previous ones you may have missed. I hope you enjoy the show and don't forget to crush the curse. Are you a people pleaser? I know I sure am. And when you mix that with being a chiropractor, it can create a lot of trauma. I know firsthand, it can wear away at your health, your relationships, and your practice. I term this the underdog curse, and I've spent the last 15 years coming up with a solution. My book, The Underdog Curse, was written to help others live a more authentic life. This is very challenging if you're externally influenced. When you take an externally influenced person and have them try to spread the message of chiropractic, it can be very challenging. If you'd like to get back to who you really are, regain your health, strengthen your relationships, and increase your worthiness, please visit Amazon.com and pick up your copy of The Underdog Curse today. Remember, if we take the time to nurture ourselves, we are much stronger at serving others. For chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host. And today, I might have a slightly special guest, maybe just slightly. This happens to be someone I know very well. She was one of the key reasons my practice doubled. She came in, helped me take my whole practice to a new level. She's helped me do what I'm strong at. She's been one of my biggest mentors in life. And she's my life partner, and her name's Brandi McDonald, and she's my wife, and I'm very excited to have her, to welcome her on the show. Hi, honey.
Hi, honey. Thanks, Dr. Don.
Yes, we won't be too cheesy on our podcast.
No, let's not do that.
But anyway, for those that don't know, why don't you tell us a little bit? I'm not gonna introduce you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of how you started in chiropractic, and then we'll kind of take it from there. Because again, we're talking about underdogs here. And if there's anyone who has done what you've done in chiropractic with the things that are against you that you have, you'd be the ultimate underdog that have overcome. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your journey?
No, I never thought of myself as an underdog before, but.
Well, you know, there's internal and external, right?
Yeah.
And so that was, I would call that an external underdog, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, obviously, I started chiropractic by meeting you. So in the book, it outlines our story and how we met and the underdog curse. And so if you haven't picked up the book, read it, because this is only time for the Coles Notes version of how we met, where I basically knew nothing about chiropractic and thought it was scary and dangerous and addictive and whatever else you could imagine chiropractic to be. And we met in a completely social environment, so there was absolutely no reason for me to be interested in chiropractic whatsoever. And as we started dating, I think the first opportunity that I had to really learn about chiropractic, I went to one of your health talks. I cannot remember if you wrote about this in The Underdog Curse.
No, I don't know. That was my first health talk I think I ever did.
Yeah, it was quite spectacular. Where you sweated so much, it looked like you ran like two marathons in a row. But anyways, there was about four of us there, my girlfriend and I and two other people. And I had just never heard about chiropractic from that perspective. I never really knew the way the human body worked. I'd never heard of something called the nervous system before. I had no idea that the master controller was this brain and this message highway through our spinal cord and spinal nerves. But most importantly, that was the system that allowed us to express who we were to the world. And that, of course, most people will see a chiropractor when there's something wrong or there's a health problem. But I never really considered it as a life choice, not just a health choice, but just a life choice. That in fact, that if that was distorted or interfered with, that you could not express who you were at a big level. So I started the healing process about 6 months after we met, and you were my first chiropractor. And so, you know, I started the journey just learning on a real basic level about the way the human body worked and health. And that was the first, I think, basic level of learning. And it was basically everything that I had never known. And so from there, I started healing, and a lot of my health issues at the time, and I'd really spent my whole life being really sick, had gone away. So that one would think that would be the end of the story, but that was basically the base of the pyramid for me and my life. Because once I got stronger physically, then I started, my brain started working better, and I started to see the world better. Then I started to go, there's got to be something more for me. Like, it seems like I'm sort of just pushing my life all the time, and I was always a high achiever, but it never really was fulfilling. And I wasn't ever sure why. I always got what I wanted. I always achieved things with the exception of my health, by the way. So despite that, I would still push. And it almost seemed like the sicker I was, the more I pushed in other areas, almost to compensate. And then once I didn't have that excuse anymore, it was almost like an openness to the fact that I was really not fulfilled in my life. And I think that's really what happened under chiropractic care for me in that period of time, was I just knew that there was something else for me. I just didn't know what it was at the time. So that's the Cole's Notes version of my story as it started.
Well, and I think a part of the underdog curse is finding what your true authentic self is and what your true gifts are. And so, and I'm going to bring up the story, because I don't know many people know this. Remember that time we went back to your parents' house and they brought out that little tape recorder?
Yes.
Can you expand a little bit about the journalist, Brandy? When she was like, how old are you, six or something?
Oh, well, my sister's, no, I've been older than that, because my sister's like 7-8 years younger than I am. So I would have been probably 9, maybe 10, maybe. My sister was really, really young. And what I used to do, my brother and I actually started it, is my parents had a tape recorder. So those were the days where we had like those tape recorders, and it had a microphone. So you could plug the microphone into the tape recorder and you could record tapes. So I apologize for anybody under the age of 35. You have no idea what I'm talking about, but those of us that are old will remember these tape recorders. And so it was really exciting, because I could hear my voice for the first time. And secondarily, my brother and I would start, and we would make these Christmas commercials. That's how it first started. And so at night, him and I would record. We used to love these Christmas commercials that were on TV. Now, we didn't have a TV, but my grandparents had a TV. And so we were allowed to go to my grandma helped raise us for a period of time, because we were on a farm living in the same place as she was. And so my grandparents had a TV, and on TV, we loved these Christmas commercials. And it would say, you know, from certain businesses to you. And it was a small town, and they would list all the names of people we knew. And it was like so exciting. And so we started creating Christmas commercials. And then one of us would be the music in the background. And it was always me then talking about like whatever Christmas thing it was. Then I decided, well, I'm quite talented at this. I really like listening to myself. So then I started interviewing my sister. The problem is, my sister was like 2. And she totally did not follow what I wanted her to say. And so I would do these interviews as if we were on TV with my sister. And it was in that period of time where you start to learn your definition of who you are. And I can see in that period of time where so many people were just like, Brandy's so bossy. And because I was super like bossy with my sister and bossing her around. I didn't like the way she was doing things. And so that's what you listened to, was me interviewing my sister and me getting frustrated because she wasn't answering the questions the way I thought she should for a TV interview, but it was like on this tape recorder. So my parents have tons of those recordings, and I loved doing that. I always loved talking. I mean, I was always known as the talker.
And didn't you also go in drama? Didn't you like acting?
I loved drama. Yeah. My goal and my first, I wasn't going to be a cheerleader, which that got killed pretty quickly by my dad. My second career choice was to be an actor. And I loved being in drama, and I was in drama all the way to grade 12. And I loved it. I loved being there. I loved acting. I loved play. I loved the whole process of getting in front of people and making them laugh and inspiring them and performing. I loved it. And that also got killed pretty quickly by my parents too. So I became neither of those things.
Well, and I think this is kind of important, because when people are trying to, you know, hit their level of success or break through the underdog curse, a lot of times they're trying to compare themselves to others. And then they're not really finding what their true authentic self is. So I think that's pretty cool that you kind of found, you know, that was your authentic gift as a child. And then you had your void, which was your health loss. And then chiropractic helped to fill that void. And then you match those two together to kind of go on steroids, basically.
Yeah, I think the way that I describe it to about chiropractic anyways, the role that chiropractic plays in the underdog curse, I think, is really about people being defined by their environment and by people around them.
Yeah.
And not being able to then define really who they were meant to be, because it's not that it's not there. It's there for all of us. And actually, it's just experiences in life and what happens to us and the way we start to wire our brains. Then we start to behave according to like what people want us to be or how they view us, not really who we are, but it's always there. And for me, what happened was once the patterns of my brain were no longer wired in that state of stress, that's really when I started going like, no, like there's something more for me. Because, and then it, as we track back to those periods of time in my life where I loved doing that kind of stuff and I loved doing book reports and I loved teaching people and I loved all of that stuff, then all of a sudden I was always in every job I ever had. I was the one that ran all the staff meetings. I was the one who did these little mini seminars. I was the one who, if there was a presentation about the agency I was working for, I was the one who did it. And it was, I didn't know then what I know now, but it was in those moments I was actually at my best.
Well, and it's funny, I remember the very first time we started dating. So I had to court Brandy for like 4 months, and there's probably a fine line between courting and stalking.
Yes, there is. Depends on who you talk to.
But yeah, so when I finally broke her down and we actually started dating, I think it was halfway through August. And then I think she called me 2 weeks later. So I'd been pursuing her for 4 months, and it was a stressful journey, right? When you're trying to kind of show your goods to someone. Yeah. For me, it was extremely stressful.
Especially for the ultimate underdog.
Yeah.
But totally. That's why it happened, because you were the ultimate underdog.
I didn't give up though. That's the cool thing. I didn't give up. But then 2 weeks later, after all this, and I'm so happy about myself that you give me a call and you said, I just got a job in Vegreville, which is an hour drive away from Edmonton. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Cause I just opened my practice. So I was in Edmonton. So anyway, we worked it out so we could go back and forth. And I did a little locum in Vegreville 2 days a week. So I worked 6 days a week, 4 days in Edmonton, 2 days in Vegreville. And then for the very first Christmas party, Brandy invited me to her staff party, and she was the MC. And so I'd never seen Brandy speak before. And the funniest thing was, so, you know, we show up and we're there, and then all of a sudden Brandy, opens the night and she grabs the microphone and then she starts speaking. And I'm like, who is that? Like I knew cause I know I think I can see talents in people pretty good. And I was like, holy cow, that is such a huge talent. So I think that was my biggest aha for you, that was kind of your natural.
Well, that was funny that night, because I remember you saying, I don't even know who that is, who that was. No, you said, I don't even know who that was up on stage.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, it was an MC event. Like, so it's not like I was standing up there doing like an inspirational talk. I was MCing like awards, and like, it was not even, I don't even think we did anything really exciting.
Well, I think too, I was probably, because again, you always compare yourself to the other person. And I'm like, as if I was up there at this moment, especially that time when I just had, I'll be like sweating everywhere, nervous. I'd be doing that weird gnawing with my mouth that you always make fun of me at the beginning when I'm nervous. I'm not, because there's no saliva in my mouth at all. And so I think that was what I was so amazed at. You just did it so natural. So you know, for you to go from female, Aboriginal, no chiropractic education, and to now being, you know, speaking in, what was it? It's 9 countries.
Yep.
Now around the world. That's the ultimate external underdog, right? Because you don't have anything going from you on the external besides your health story. So can you maybe kind of share a little bit about how you think that was possible, from like an underdog looking at it going, holy cow, like you had, the odds are so stuck against you to have done what you've done.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know that people would see that. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know that people would know that there would be an underdog story in that story, because most people know me today. So they don't know, you know, the problem with if you're more public and people sort of know who you are, what they're looking at is the results of years and years and years and years of work. So it just sort of looks like you sort of turned up that way, and it sort of didn't really work that way. That said, I think when you have a natural innate drive to just be who you're meant to be, things are not as hard as you imagine them to be. So like, I get asked a lot about like that exact question, like how do I do it? Or how do I, you know, a lot of people want to be speakers or they want to coach or they want to get out and spread a message. And like, there are ways that I'm sure there are strategies that can be done And I'm sure there's ways to market and brand yourself. Well, I'm sure there is, obviously, none of which I can teach about because I really don't have any skill in that area. I don't know how it happened for me. What happened was it started like the first office asked me because I went into your office. I went into your office when you asked me for a few months. And then all of a sudden a friend of ours said, well, what are you doing in Don's office? Can you come to my office? And so for $20 an hour, I went into his office and then I went into it. Then another friend asked and then another friend asked. And then all of a sudden a bunch of people I didn't know started asking. And then all of a sudden a coach we were working with asked, you know, would I do this? And then we did a seminar. And then from there, it just started to roll out. And you're right. My health story isn't enough. I mean, and not that it's not important. It is important for people to understand the power of chiropractic, but that's just a basic level of what we do in chiropractic. And I think for me, what it was always a vision for me to use my life in some degree of possibility, not to prove anybody wrong, not to prove something right. It was always, I have always been an advocate. From when I was a kid, I was always an advocate. And so I've always had careers that have been in advocacy and human behavior, always. And chiropractic was no different. What I realized though was where I spend my finite energy will be people who believe and think the same way that I believe and think, but don't necessarily see the possibility. And as I started to share that message, I just started getting invited more and more. And I certainly hope that I'm not invited for the fact that I'm an Aboriginal or that I'm a woman or that I'm not a chiropractor or whatever they're trying to fill. I certainly hope that I'm going to be invited for my content and the work that I have done to date to become who I am. And then hopefully sharing some of those messages, not just chiropractically with businesses, but also personally, because that's a huge part of what I believe we're doing is helping people transform individually so that ultimately, yes, of course, then their business transforms and their, you know, life transforms and their relationships transform. But you can't, those are all external and they're all based on you being able to internally identify patterns that are barriers and things that you are innately good at and doing those things.
Yeah. And I think that's a really cool thing because I remember you coming back from, you just recently had a Joe Dispenza seminar. And I was wondering if you could just share a little bit with the listeners about that, about having so many people in the room and he's basically talking the language of chiropractic and people are eating it up. And a lot of times in chiropractic, we said that people can't handle what we do. They can't handle the truth.
Or handle it beyond pain, right? I mean, that's what we've been told. And we believe that for a long time in our practice too, that if you just, in our minds, we're like, well, just meet them where they're at. And so we've been told where people are at is just get them out of pain or fix a condition. So that's their base level of understanding. But as you step outside chiropractic and you start to work with people who are not in chiropractic, you realize that is in fact not what people want. That is the only language and verbiage they know because it has been patterned for them to understand that. But when you dig a little bit deeper, and it doesn't take any skill actually, you'll start to realize that the majority of people want more than that. They want what I wanted 20 years ago. They want their life to have purpose. They want to be connected. They don't want to be defined by other people. They don't want to be defined by their circumstances in the past or the environment that they're currently in. They want something different. And that I think is what we provide in chiropractic. No, you know, a lot of people ask me, well, I don't want to be a counselor or a psychologist. And I mean, my past life is a social worker. So yes, I do bring a lot of that to my work, but a chiropractor doesn't have to be any of those things. All they have to do is understand the role the nervous system plays in all of those patterns of physiology and neurology. And when we break them and interrupt them and bring a system to ease, people start the process on their own. That's really the goal of what we do. And so the big event that I went to in Portland, and he's a great friend of mine and I've been doing his work for a long time, I've just seen this upswell of people who really want something other than what we think they want. And they are just engaged. And if you build a concept for them and then you start to unravel it really simply, then they want it. And that's really what I saw in Portland with 1,000 people, none of which are involved in chiropractic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's the interesting thing about chiropractic in general that kind of suffers a bit from the underdog curses that we think, you know, that we're so influenced by the external environment, we always have to be less than, and we can't step into our own power. And if we just got accepted by medicine, like everything would be good. So I think that's one aspect that the listeners want to, you know, to get over, is that chiropractor doesn't need to be stuck in the underdog curse.
Now, a little bit stuck in the underdog curse. The whole profession is an underdog profession. It has been from 1895. So people, here's the thing. You and I had this conversation when we first met, and we were having such a hard time in chiropractic, and you were so, Don was so frustrated with something that was going on externally. And you know, we people that follow us know we did not have an easy go in chiropractic. It was a tough go for us. And one day I just said to you, are you kidding me? This is why you picked the profession. You picked it for the very reasons that you think you can't make it are the very reasons you love it. And so that is why so many people are drawn to the profession, is for that particular reason. I think that's important to note, because we do love the underdog, but the power of the underdog is the will to overcome. That's why we love the underdog. We don't love an underdog that stays in drama. The reason the movies are so successful and Rocky and everything you love and chiropractic is it's the fight, it's the win, it's the will. That's the whole part why people pick up an underdog profession like this.
Yeah, I guess if you have the underdog with no drive, then they're just a wuss.
Well, you could say that. I don't know if you necessarily want to say that.
Well, and again, I think that was one of the things I think you said too, is that you said, you know, if you go and spend $200,000 on an education and become a doctor of chiropractic, like this was even your words to me, how possibly can you be an underdog?
Yeah. I just couldn't wrap my brain around the potential that you have as a chiropractor, and having spent the training and the time and the money, and still believe that you're an underdog, where there's just, it's unlimited possibility as a chiropractor. I just really, really could not ever wrap my brain. And I still, to this day, I understand it because I've lived through it with you, but I still don't understand it fully, because the potential is endless with people. There is endless potential with people. The problem is not with the people. The problem is with whoever is in the body thinking that they can't do it.
Which brings me to my next question. Is that now we talk about the profession, right? The underdog profession. Now, it seems like, again, since you've met me, like you end up attracting a lot of, we call it the lab personality styles in my book,
yes,
or the amiable personalities.
Yes.
And they have a tendency to feel like an underdog. And now you seem to just attract tons of those people. Now you become them. You could be like the amiable whisper. And you say, and the funny thing is, you always tell me that we drive you crazy, but you love that challenge. So I was wondering, you've been doing a lot of work lately with chiropractors, and the funny thing is that half the time you're not even talking about chiropractic. We're talking about their own stuff, their own mental, you know, synapses, and sometimes that's the reason they got into chiropractic, is because of something that happened to them in the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder if you could just kind of expand on how you've been helping people kind of get out of the lie that they were taught when they were a kid, and trying to help them become more of an authentic chiropractor and finding out who they really are.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, I think it was Tony Robbins. You told me after Tony Robbins' event, the percentage of people in the world that are actually amiable is actually a huge percentage. Where we think there's, because we see most of our coaches and speakers who are high driver personalities, we don't, in the book, we call them alpha wolves, right? But mm-hmm. But in reality, most of them are not that personality. It's just the ones who step out and stand on stage and yell the loudest and coach the most tend to be that personality. And so, but yet the majority of the world, not just chiropractors, are not that personality. So I don't know if I attract more of them, or it's just statistics, or you were just my training ground. Because two things had to happen. I'm a driver personality. And so I had to learn how to connect and communicate with people that were not my personality. And that means that when you're the personality that I am, you'd love to just tell people what to do. And some people do that, and they'll do it for a while. But the results are unsustainable. And so I don't even think it's an amiable personality. I think it's just most of us have been brought up in these patterns of thinking and feeling and doing, and they just repeat and repeat and repeat. And the outcome of our life is a result of that. And the outcome of our practice is a result of that. And simply because you go to chiropractic college doesn't mean that breaks it. And in fact, sometimes it changes it. Many chiropractors will go with one view of chiropractic and go to school and change their view, but then try to get back to their original view before they went to school, which may have been more along the, what we call the life model, where it's about expression of life versus pain and conditions. So I think that if we start to understand that the brain is really wired when we're really young. So this is a marrying of a little bit of what I've learned in chiropractic and about 250 hours of neurology, but also a degree in social work. And I sort of put those, married those two together. We're patterned really pretty hard in our hard drive before we're 12. And so that's really hard for people to wrap their brain around, because by the time you're 40, you're super smart. So you're smart, or 30 or 25, you're smart. You've run your life a certain way. If you were like me, you can push outcomes in certain directions of your life and actually be somewhat successful. But if you sort of find that you're not, it's not aligned. So for me, it was, I was, could drive it in certain parts of my life, but then in other parts, like my health and my activity and honestly how I felt about myself, were not aligned with the external achievements that I was really getting, then I had to start looking at that underlying stuff. Because you can hide from that for a long time, but eventually one day it's going to rear its head. And so that's really who you're meant to be. But you can't do it based on the patterns of the past. And the majority of us live in not just thought patterns, but these are neural networks. They are like, you know, nerve cells that fire together, wire together, and then they wire together and more of them wire together and more of them wire together. And pretty soon your whole brain is wired that way. And even though you're an adult and you can talk it away and you can numb it away and you can justify it away, because we have that part of our frontal lobe and that executive functioning that allows us to do those things, the actual thing that's driving us are the hard drives of our past. And so I do spend a lot of time with people looking at the hard drives of their past and where some of that stuff started, so that they can, in today's life, see how much of their day-to-day activities are driven by today or how much of it is driven by yesterday. And I would say that most people are driven by yesterday. And very few people have the awareness to know that unless something really dramatic happens. So they get sick, they get divorced, they lose their business, somebody dies, like something really scary happens and it snaps them out of it. And then they go, I want to do something different. And I think the goal that I'm trying to reach people with social media and also with what I speak about is to try to get people to look at that before something dramatic happens. Because what, you know, you can do it for so long, but eventually you can't do it anymore. And the piece of you, which I call your soul or who you are meant to be, will eventually, who's been whispering at you for a long time, will eventually start screaming. And sometimes it comes in a way that you really don't want it to come in. And so it's really trying to listen to that and be aware of those patterns before that happens.
What, and if you can give some examples to listeners, like what might be some early signs that this is happening so that you can kind of be on the lookout before something catastrophic?
The easy ones are just unhappiness. Like people are just generally, you don't feel happy. You don't feel fulfilled. Nothing you do is ever fulfilling. The other big one, I see this all the time in practice, is fatigue. People are exhausted, but they don't sleep. So those kind of things let us know that no matter what you do, no matter how much you sleep, or maybe you're not sleeping, you're just exhausted all the time. It means you're not doing what you're meant to do. Now, then all the logical brain kicks in and goes, but I have a family and I have to support them. All the reasons we hear in practice why somebody can't change that pattern. And so, you know, I think if people are just generally not, we call it slothy or sludgy. They're exhausted. They're not fulfilled. They're not happy. On the far end of the brain, we've got reactivity. So the threshold for life is really low. So your cup of water is like full all the time. And God forbid, like one drop comes in. Then all of a sudden it's just an explosion. And then you calm down for a while. Then you do it again. Like all those patterns. And if you were to just stop for 5 seconds and be alone, like you talk about that in the book, just if you were to be alone for a few minutes with yourself and start to own some of that, you'd actually have some awareness. But most of us numb it with all of our activities and our behaviors that we're just trying to stay away from it. So we just keep acting that way. And before we know it, something happens, because you can't live like that forever.
Yeah, interesting. Now, when you're working with chiropractors, what's your process? Like, how do you work at uncovering some of these lies in their brain?
Well, if somebody reaches out to me about to work with them personally, it's the same with the practice, actually. What I want to know is what did they think it was going to look like? I call it the blueprint. What did they think their life was going to look like at this point? And then what's the reality of their life in comparison to that? So the reality of their life is really what I want to talk about, because for many of them, for the first time as they go through the process, they've never, ever told the truth. They've never told the truth about their life. And And like, it's actually amazing to me. And I'm very humbled by the fact that many, the first time they're going to tell the truth is actually when they're talking to me. And so a lot of, first of all, the awareness process is about giving some of that patterning stuff a voice, because it can't live in the dark. All those altered shame and anger and frustration and embarrassment and self-worth stuff can't live in the dark. As soon as you shine a light on it, you kill it. You can't live there anymore. And so it's a process of identifying how much are we living this illusion, trying to seek an illusion for what we think is going to make us happy versus what's actually really going on. And then I want people to identify what's the biggest lie they're telling themselves right now. Because everybody has a big lie. And lots of us have little lies, but we all have one big lie. And until we can tell the truth about that, that lie is basically driving every behavior that we do and every decision we make, and it alters everything that we do in all our relationships.
What are some examples of some of the big lies you've heard?
Oh, well, they're the big ones, like, I'm not worth it. Mm-hmm. People are going to leave me.
Yeah.
I can't control my environment. People control me. So versions of all of that, right? Things like, you know, if you start justifying reasons as to why negative environments, negative people, or negative behavior for some reason matters. So they have to be around me. My kids have to be around them. I have to do this particular job for all of these reasons. But it's actually keeping you in your lie that you're not worthy, that it's shameful, it's whatever it is, then that tells me that the lie is actually driving you more than your potential is driving you. Mm. And so it falls under all of those big areas that most of us know from, like, I always call them the contrived memes. And I love a good meme. So yeah. I make memes all the time. I love a good meme. But like, the meme is not going to change it, and an affirmation is not going to change it, and a goal, you gotta fracture it before that's going to make any sustainable difference.
Well, that's pretty cool on the personal aspect of working on one. What other things have you been working on? We might have produced a program together. I was wondering if you could explain.
How did you explain it?
Well, I'll introduce it, and you can explain it since you're the best explainer. So we've created a program called the Vitality Shift. And that's an online training program with a Facebook group to kind of support chiropractors. And then there's also more of a in-person seminar. And I was wondering if you could explain the difference between those two things and explain why that was developed.
Well, the Vitality Shift was developed similarly to how your book was developed. Because how long had you been thinking about developing an easy to access online program for chiropractors?
Yeah, huge. Because I've been coaching for a long time. And I was like, if I just had some of this baseline stuff somewhere where they could just get it, I wouldn't have to say the same thing to people over and over and over again.
And how you've been researching, you know, internet marketing and you know, social media. And you actually have been doing that for a long time. So this was really the accumulation of all those years of similar to your book where you've been thinking about it. Thankfully, we just failed faster forward with the program than we did the 17 years of your book.
17 years book, 1 year for the program.
See, people, it's possible. It happens faster once you have some insight. So the two parts, the online program was developed really for people who could never get to one of our seminars. And so the Vitality Shift Immersion Day is an intensive 8-hour workshop where we go through, if you follow me on Facebook, you know, our Vitality Shift in our practice was the most pivotal thing that happened to us in chiropractic, because it's when we started to move away from a pain and conditions model. Even though we were subluxation focused, we were still very therapeutic in our language and how we use the adjustment, which was like a therapy to fix something, and moved the understanding for people away from that to this really brain-based, life-based model of care, which says, you know what, your nervous system processes your entire life. And it is, you are better off to be under care than not. And you can be subluxated and have a physiology that's distorted even though you can't feel it. And that alone will distort your view of the world, which distorts really your ability to be who you were meant to be. That's really what the Vitality Shift is and why it was formed. So over the last 5 years in our practices, we started implementing things, again, similar to how it started with me in your practice. I started getting asked, well, what are you doing? And what are the tests you do? And how do you care plan? And we ended up, I ended up spending hours answering emails and Facebook questions. And after seminars, the same questions that everybody had that we probably had when we first started. So,
and communication, that's a huge one.
And how to communicate and how to link things to what's important to people, not what's important to us, which is really one of our big failures in chiropractic. And so that's how the Vitality Shift was formed. And so the workshop was really an intention for us to get down and dirty, to work with me personally for 8 hours, where I can get through the content of the Vitality Shift, but also help the individual chiropractors and their teams with really owning the concept in real time. And so we role play, we practice, we talk about objections. I can work people through the concepts, and I can help help, because what happens in practice, you don't have an observer of what works and what doesn't. So I can be what I call the quantum observer. So in practice, if you're going to implement any of this, what will we need to shed? What's not congruent? And that's really hard to do when you're on your own. And that's what the online program doesn't provide. That's what the workshop does provide. So it's basically small group coaching, for lack of a better word, as we work through the content. And so that, but we know that everybody in the world can go to that. And it's a really small workshop. So I limit the numbers. So the online program that we launch is really for everybody who can't come or maybe wants to come after the workshop and just have it forever. And so that was the Unlocking the Vitality Code, the online program that we just launched. And it works through it through a 30 video module based learning program with all the handouts. And we have a closed Facebook group that is for free. We don't charge for that. And the coolest thing that we do with that is the buy one, gift one, which we will give a scholarship to a student for every program that's purchased. And that's already starting as we speak. We've got students in queue for those scholarship applications. And so we're really, I mean, you and I are pretty proud of that part.
Yeah, 100%. And then for people out there, realize it's not an open program. So we open it and then we close it. So if you happen to go to thevitalityshift.com and the program's not currently open, we'll have a opt-in that you can just get on a waiting list to know when that opens.
So if you see the video, but it before September 25th, 2017, then it will be open until then. And of course, our upcoming seminars are on trueconceptsseminars.com. And that'll be upcoming here in 2017 in Vancouver, October 7th. And then same thing, I don't launch any dates until the following year is to the next one. So we'd love you to be there.
Awesome. And now one last thing before we close out. You are a board member of the Australia Spinal Research Foundation. So just kind of in closing in this call, I was wondering if you could just kind of tell our listeners a little bit about that initiative and how they can support chiropractic research.
Well, I think there's two ways to tithe in the profession. You can give your time, you can give your money, and preferably you give both, which you and I give both and a lot of that. And I was honored to be invited to sit on the board as one of the, other than the researchers, I'm the only non-chiropractor, non-doctor on the Spinal Research Foundation board, which is pretty cool. And I think my viewpoint is just a little bit different perhaps than others that sit on the board. We fund and facilitate research that is commissioned to look at the impact of subluxation on human health and potential. And currently in the world, there's nobody else that does that. It is an amazing process that expressions of interest go through or that we partner with to ensure that it meets research criteria. And of course, these become published research, which in the long game, we will need ultimately for people who care about things like health policy and advertising guidelines and all of these things that in practice, you might not think impact you. But like around the world, they do impact you. And we don't have anything to support that. So they say you can't support that with claims. Well, our intention is to support that. It is to support it with claims that subluxation impacts the human potential. It impacts people's health outcomes, whether they have symptoms or not. And a clear and connected nervous system makes these differences for people, that we intend to show that. But you can't do research without money. And so obviously you can donate. One of the cool donation processes that the foundation has is to look at how much you would spend a year on getting chiropractic care for yourself or your staff, which most of us don't pay for that. And that you gift that amount to the Spinal Research Foundation in a donation. That would be fabulous. Or even simpler, you become a member. You sign up on our website. We can put the link below to become a member. And it's $300 a year, so it's like super, super cheap. And that money, you need to know, goes directly to that research. And so it's really important for us to continue to build that as we go forward.
Yeah, and I think earlier on, we really wanted to get back to chiropractic research. And so we donated a big chunk of money to the Canadian Chiropractic Spinal Research, or whatever it's called, CCRF. And we wanted to direct that money, right? Because we know we have a diverse profession, all the way from pain-based back pain guys, all the way to we have our vitalistic, like how does chiropractic improve overall health? And there was no way to direct it. And actually, they weren't doing any of that research at the time. And so we figured, you know, the world, we don't have enough chiropractors in the world to make an impact if we're all segmented in our country. And so that's why once we discovered the Australia Spinal Research Foundation, we send all of our money there. And How much have we probably donated in the last, probably like getting in the 20s?
Probably close to 30 grand, probably. 28,000 dollars.
Because we donate all, like the purse proceeds from our seminars, we go there as well. So for people out there who really want to kind of give back to, you know, the chiropractic that we love, the 30%, 30%ers who love Vitalistic Chiropractic, this is an awesome way to do it. So if you just even Google Australia Spinal Research Foundation and sign up, that would be awesome. So my dear, in closing thoughts, is there anything you'd like to say to the underdog nation?
Nation of chiropractic?
Yeah.
I think I'd say what I said to you. The very things that sometimes seem overwhelming or not able to overcome in chiropractic are often the very reasons you got into it. And I think if you feel like an underdog, the brilliance of an underdog is the will to overcome. And your will always overcome anything. As long as you know, not your willpower, your will. And so your will is that consciousness. It's that authentic self. It's that strength that all of us have within us, whether we're chiropractors or not. That will be stronger than any external thing in your environment. So as soon as you own that, you own the world and you master your life.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Heidi, for being on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And I hope everybody got some good information out of the call today. And until next time, crush the curse. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.